We're doing the Siddur Kabbalah, and we were up to Hillel and B'nai B'Tera. He said he's going to recount the story because there are many lessons we could learn from it. So he says, V'inyanam Suparu, and the story that's told is as follows. Shamru B'Talmud Pesach Sheni, that in the Talmud it says, in Pesachim it says, in the chapter Pesach Sheni, Shezikne B'Tera Yun Sim Be'Eretz Yisrael, the elders of B'Tera, they were the Nesiim, they were the princes in Israel, V'iduim K'manigim B'chol Ora, and they were known as the leaders, the guides in all questions of halacha. They called the shots. They were the chief rabbis. So the Talmud tells us about them, that one time the question came up and they didn't know the answer. In Pesach doche Shabbat im lav, does the bringing of the Paschal offering push off Shabbos or not? So Pesach, the eve of Pesach fell out on a Shabbos. And the question was, do you slaughter the Pesach sacrifice on Shabbos or not? And they said, gee, we don't know. Im sheyeh hasafek kipshuto, you might understand the question was to be understood simply, even though the Meiri himself over there in Pesachim says he can't explain it that it's simply a... Every 7 years, you have at least once that Pesach falls out on a Shabbos. Obviously, everyone knows. So he says, okay, there are alternate understandings. But he says, let's say we'll take the question at face value, that it was to be understood simply. But he says, however you explain it, could be that they're referring to a secret question that came up, that sometimes the rabbis in Talmud couldn't reveal to us what they were talking about. They said it in code. Those who have a tradition, they know what the code is referring to. The rest of us, we read it, and we see a nice story. But he says, you know, you can understand it however you want. Or maybe what they were missing was a certain rule in derivations. And so, even though they knew the custom, but they weren't sure, how do we get to that custom? And if they couldn't back the custom that they knew with the derivations from the Torah, then they were stuck. They said, wait a second, how could we rule this way when we don't understand the ruling? Yes, we know, that's what they did 7 years ago, but wait a second, what's the logic behind it? And the rule is, you cannot give halachic ruling when you don't understand the logic behind it. That's why sometimes people will quote, the rabbi told me this. Well, he told you that. Who told you could apply it to someone else? One of the guys here once, a week ago, asked me if he could record a class from Sir Jonathan Sacks, right? Is he allowed to record that shiur that's being given him? So my first thought was, I know that question was posed to Rabbi Avram Shapiro, and he said, you could record any class in the yeshiva without receiving prior authorization. So I was about to tell him yes, and then I said, actually, I can't answer that question. So he looked startled because he saw I was about to say something, and then I said, I can't answer. So I told him, look, I know that in Merkaz Rav, Rabbi Avram Shapiro said a certain ruling, but I don't know the logic behind the ruling. So even though technically I'd like to think that if he said it there, we can apply it here, but if I don't understand the logic behind the ruling, so I can start making assumptions the logic is this or that or the other thing. I don't know. I don't know if I'm applying the ruling correctly or not. So I can't answer you. Ask someone else. So B'nai B'Seira, he says, maybe the idea here was that they knew what the custom was, but suddenly they asked themselves, what's the source for this custom? And they found themselves lacking. They said, we don't remember, we don't have the derivation. So someone must have brought it to their attention, and they didn't know, should we say, don't carry, not, or could carry. They couldn't figure out what's the bottom line. They were embarrassed. They made a declaration, they made an announcement. Does anyone know? So the chief rabbis publicize a question. And here you see the modesty of the chief rabbis. This story doesn't begin with B'nai B'Seira. It goes back to David HaMelech. When David HaMelech would give halachic ruling, he'd have his Rebbe Mephibosheth there and he'd say, Rebbe, did I say right? They came and asked King David the question. He's the chief rabbi. He gave an answer. And then he said, one second, Rebbe, did I get it right? And sometimes his Rebbe would say yes, and sometimes his Rebbe would say no. He'd embarrassed of it. But that's the modesty of our leaders. And it doesn't start with David HaMelech. The truth is it starts with Moshe Rabbeinu. It says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was caught in error, we're going to see it soon in next week's parasha. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you're right. So the Medrash says, what does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu said you're right? The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu had them blow the trumpets and make a declaration. Moshe was in error, and Aaron's children, they said the right halacha. It's not in Parshas Pinchas. It's in Vayikra. It's not. In Parshas Pinchas, there's a different halacha that he didn't know. But this story happened already. We read it already a few weeks ago. It's in Shmini. So the Bnei Betera publicized the question. Does anyone know? Klomar sheyedal natzecham kantel bekach b'tshuva shlema min haTorah. Someone here was bugging them and saying, well, what's your source? And they were caught. They didn't have an answer. So they said, can anyone give a winning answer? Or can he prove it from derivation? Can he prove it from delving deeply? Can he prove it from showing that it's similar to a different question? Or could he give testimony that this is the tradition he has from his rabbis? You know, that also has a halachic weight. So they said, yeah, there's one man here. His name is Hillel of Babylon. He just came from Babylon. That he served the two giants, Shmaya and Avtalion. Maybe he'll know the answer. And here we see an interesting point. Here he says, the way we have it in our Talmud, that Hillel learned by Shmaya and Avtalion in Babylon. Earlier, when he described Hillel, he describes Hillel who ascended to learn before Shmaya and Avtalion. The simple understanding ascended to learn before Shmaya and Avtalion means he went to Israel to learn before them. But the way the Gemara reads simply is that he came from Babylon, and in Babylon he learned under Shmaya and Avtalion. Okay?
No, I was asking. Like, it says he was born and then he learned there as well.
I don't know. It says he came from Babylon. I don't know where he was born. How do you know?
He had definitely been there learning, but you don't know where he had been.
Correct. Shalchu alav uva lifneim. So they sent word, and Hillel came before the chief rabbis. Amru lo Pesach doche Shabbat. They asked him, does Pesach push off Shabbos? Amar lehem chi Pesach echad doche Shabbat. One Pesach pushes off Shabbos. V'alo yotam mimatayim Pesachim dochim ta Shabbat. Bechol shana. You have more than 200 Paschal offerings all year that push off the Shabbos. Klomar, what does he mean? Korbanot hakvasim shem domod lekorbanot pesachim. You have sheep offerings that are like the Paschal offering. Vehem dalet bechol Shabbat. You have four such offerings on every Shabbos. We push off Shabbos and we bring four offerings of sheep every Shabbos. Shnei tmidim. You have two tamid sacrifices, one every morning, including Shabbos morning. One every night, every afternoon, including Shabbos afternoon. Shnei Musafim, the two Musaf sacrifices on Shabbos, they push off Shabbos. V'zayin kvasim Shabbat shebetoch Pesach, seven sheep on Shabbos in Pesach. V'yudal b'Shabbat Sukkot, 14 on Shabbos of Sukkot. So you have hundreds of offerings that push off Shabbos. Certainly the Pesach offering also pushes off Shabbos. Amru lo kvar amarnu sheyesh mimcha tochelet, elazu minayin lach. They said, okay, we see this good word from you, but where do you have a derivation? Prove it. So the Jerusalem Talmud says he proved it to them by showing them it was similar to a different law, by showing them a fortiori from a similar law, and showing them Gzeiras Shava. He showed them three proofs to this halacha. It's similar to the Tamid. They're both public sacrifices. They both push off Shabbos. Gzeros, Shava, they both have the word in its set time, which is indicative of the concept that it maintains its set time and Shabbos doesn't get in its way. And he proved it with a fortiori. He said, if the Tamid sacrifice, that if you miss a Tamid, you don't get kareis, you don't get cut off from the world to come, yet it pushes off Shabbos, certainly the Paschal offering, where the Torah says if you forgo the Paschal offering for naught, then there is a Kares punishment. Certainly the Kares, the Pesach, should push off Shabbos. So he brought them three proofs. Ve'amru al zeh b'Talmud Ma'arav. So in the Jerusalem Talmud, Talmud of the West, if you're standing in Babylon, Israel's to the west, in the Jerusalem Talmud it says, Gimel enichu kitrem ba'olam hazeh v'yoshu olam haba. Three people put down their crowns in this world, and they merited the world to come. Yonatan ben Shaul, King Saul's son Jonathan, said to David, "You're going to be king. I'll be vice president under you, but you're going to be king. I know God wants you. You're going to be king." He humbled himself before the one who he recognized was chosen by God. The Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Ziknei bnei Petera, and the elders of bnei Petera, that they lowered themselves. And then the Talmud goes into the story of each one, which we'll pick up with Bezrat Hashem next week. So Bnei B'Teira said, "Hillel, we see you no more." And they humbled themselves, and they appointed Hillel the Nasi. And that's, we'll learn that story, Bezrat Hashem, next week.